Welcome to Ask Pastor John, a question and answer podcast with John Piper. Scott writes to us and says, I am a career missionary in Africa and Europe. And based on some of the messages in your recent series on how people come to faith, he says, I feel strongly about evangelical methods that seek to push people through certain steps and then pronounce them regenerate. To use your language, Pastor John, he says, I would ask, how many people are in hell today because they thought I was born again when I prayed the sinner's prayer, was moved by a Christian film, went forward in a meeting, checked a box on an internet website, without it being God himself that drew them? Aren't some evangelicals practicing a kind of sacramentalism in pushing people through certain steps and then counting them as born again? Isn't this in many cases tragic and dangerous?
Yes. Yes to both. Yes, it is a kind of sacramentalism, and yes, it is tragic and dangerous. And I take him to mean by sacramentalism something like baptismal regeneration, that is, being baptized with this water and these appropriate words being used by this appropriate ordained clergy means this baby is born again. That's sacramentalism because it's all external. The baby may or may not be experiencing anything, and it's considered that the external act of the baptism performed by humans in appropriate ways becomes the instrument of God in the infallible awakening of the child's life. So we evangelicals don't do that. We do something else, he's saying, and I think he's right. And it's not wrong to preach. It's not wrong to plead. Those are essential. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. Plead with people to be saved. Ask them if they would like to put their faith in Jesus and pray a prayer of confession and affirmation of their those aren't wrong procedures. The thing he's pointing to, I presume, is the pragmatic sense that I must be able to close this deal. And there are ways I can close it. I've learned them. I can say, do you see any reason why you shouldn't profess faith? No, no. Are you willing to check this box? I now believe. Yes. Check that box. I pray for you now. Something like that. And now guaranteeing them they're born again. Born again is a spiritual reality. When 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, says to believers, confirm your calling and election. That word calling there is the same as effectual calling and virtually synonymous with new birth. Confirm your regeneration and confirm your election. And what that means is show by your faith and by your ongoing allegiance to Jesus and your treasuring him that you truly are born again. That's the way to talk to converts. So if I find that a person is ready in my office, And I say, you know, it just looks to me like God has moved and you're on the brink, at the brink, over the line. Would you just like to pray and put your faith in, profess faith in Jesus here, confess your sins out loud? Yes. So they say what they need to say. I'm not putting any words in their mouth. That's another little piece of the sacramentalism. My language for them is, I am thrilled with what God has brought you to. I count you now a brother in Christ. Let's go forward together. And then I'm going to say, now the devil's going to beat you up tonight. Going to make you wonder if this is real. It's going to tempt you to do pornography. And when you get up tomorrow morning, he's going to tell you it's a bunch of hoax. You now will prove, confirm your calling, your election, the reality of your faith, by your ongoing walk with Christ or not. And in that language, I'm telling him, you could be deceiving me now, but I don't think you are. The judgment of charity, the old Puritans called it. I'm giving the judgment of charity that he's born again. So I think careful language, making sure you don't read words into a person's life, making sure you don't think, I've got to get the deal closed here. I can get the deal closed here. This is manageable by American pragmatism. I agree with this brother. And it's dangerous. He said dangerous and tragic because I think we do give people false assurances when we tell them, because you signed or because you walked or because you prayed, you therefore are secure forever. I mean, here's an example. When I came to Bethlehem, there was an older woman, because I was dealing with a really defective theology around here, and she came up to me and she said, let's pray for my son. He's in North Dakota. He's in the armed services, and he's not walking with the Lord, and I'm concerned about him. He's just some terrible things he's doing. So I said, well, how long has that been going on? Oh, probably since he left high school. Just not. He used to come to church here, and he's not walking with the Lord. I said, well, maybe we should pray that the Lord would save him. And, oh, no. Oh, no. He's saved. I said, well, how do you know he's saved? She said, well, when he was six, and she pointed right to the front of the sanctuary. When he was six, he knelt down right there and asked the Lord to be his Savior. And I said, I don't remember what I said there, but over time, I tried to communicate. You know, six-year-olds, when they pray that prayer, may or may not be real. He may be doing that because of pressure of his peers, pressure of his mom. I mean, you're not infallible in judging your son's faith. So I said, I think the way to pray is, Lord, bring him to yourself. Confirm in his life that he's saved. And if he's not saved, save him. That's the way I think you should pray. Don't assume. And so it's dangerous and tragic in the sense that moms and dads and kids assume that they're saved, and no matter what they do. I could give you other stories of what I've run into here at Bethlehem in that regard. Find a way to love people to the Savior without becoming guilty of evangelical sacramental evangelism.
Ask Pastor John, a podcast of John Piper and Desiring God. Know God and enjoy Him more than ever through spending time today at our website, desiringgod.org, desiringgod.org.